My guest at this time is Texas freshman Republican Congressman Kiko Canseco. He is representing the Lone Star State's 23rd Congressional District, and he joins me now to talk about a major piece of legislation that House Republicans will be advancing most likely here on Tuesday, and that relates to reversing many of the energy policies instituted by the Obama administration and also opening up different options for domestic energy exploration. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me on your show, Greg, and it's a pleasure to be with your audience.
Thank you, sir. And the title of the bill is pretty clear. It's basically rolling back what the president has done in what you see as restricting access to American energy and opening up other opportunities. Where do you start with this legislation? What specifically are you rolling back?
Well, let me tell you, on June 28th of this year, the president announced its proposal for final lease plans for developing the United States offshore energy resources, and it would be for 2012 through 2017. Now, if you look at the Outer Continental Shelf Leasing Act, which is Section 18 of that, the president's proposal is for 5 years for offshore drilling, and it must submit it to Congress for a mandatory 60-day review before it can become final and in effect. So the president proposes, and then the Congress has 60 days to finally review it. So what this is, H.R. 6082, is that final review. And what that review does is that it takes the president's plan and says, you know, that's not correct, that's not right. It doesn't open up what the president says it's opening up. So what our plan does, it takes those areas of the outer shelf, and just to give you a pictorial look at it, it opens up the West Coast, all of the Pacific West Coast, all of the Atlantic West Coast. It excludes what has always historically been excluded, and that's the Gulf of Mexico area off of the Florida coast, but it includes all of the Gulf Coast, and it also includes parts of the northern part of Alaska along the Arctic Circle. So that's what our plan does, and what it does do is that it generates $600 million in revenue and creates tens of thousands of American jobs, and none of them at taxpayer expenses.
The president said it at the State of the Union address. He said it again on the campaign trail a number of times that under his administration, the amount of exploration has increased substantially. How do you respond to that?
Oh, that's so not true. I mean, it's playing with the numbers. But if you look back to when President Obama was first elected, all the areas, with the exception of the eastern portion of the Gulf of Mexico, were open. And what the Obama administration did was remove President Bush's plan and then took 3 years to come up with a new plan. So his new plan officially closes 85% of all offshore areas. That he claims that he opens others, these were things that were closed under his administration, Obama's administration, but already available, and includes that. So what our bill, which is 6082, what it does, on the other hand, it opens up areas for drilling that have at least 2.5 billion gallons of oil and 7.5 trillion cubic feet of natural gas. And it also implements a new lease schedule for 29 lease sales in the Gulf of Mexico, the Mid-Atlantic, the Southern Pacific, and the Arctic.
One of the things that some of your colleagues who have been critical of the president have pointed out in recent months, Congressman, is that in the president's terminology, you have to be very careful in how you read it, because there's a big difference between leases and permits, and one's a whole lot easier to get under his plan than the other. Has that been your experience as well?
Well, that's very true. You know, the lease is the final stage, one of the final stages, and you also need to get the permit through all of the other bureaucracies that that have been set up. So you've got a lot of hurdles in front of you. Opening it up is one thing, but leasing and permitting is another.
So what type of support do you expect in the House? Do you expect this to be entertained at all in the Senate? How do you anticipate this playing out in the next few days and weeks?
I see it passing the House of Representatives, and I sure hope that that the Senate looks at it and sees that it is desperately important that we rid ourselves of reliance on foreign oil and foreign sources of energy. Here we have it at home. We can certainly take it and use it and help create jobs and help increase the economy or improve the economy.
And what type of job creation, if this were to go through, could you anticipate?
Well, we can anticipate several tens of thousands of jobs. And I want to just highlight the idea that these are not government jobs, and these are not jobs that are created with taxpayer dollars, but they are real jobs from the private sector.
And so these would be permanent rather than temporary stimulus type?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And not to mention all the other collateral jobs that that are created just by the mere fact that you've created all these jobs that are going into the production industry. But, you know, there's the housing and there's the feeding and there's all sorts of other things that just geometrically grow simply because these people have a job.
Let me ask you a question I'm sure you're going to get if you haven't gotten already, and that is, of course, the Democrats have been, through the Obama administration and elsewhere, pushing more towards renewable energy, and that's been a big controversy, absolutely, over the investments in some of these companies that haven't panned out, to say the least. What in this bill, if at all, targets renewable energy?
Well, I think this is more focused towards offshore drilling. It is specifically targeted towards the idea that we need to open up our resources throughout our country, especially on the Atlantic and the Pacific and the Southern Pacific and the Arctic, where we've got a lot of resources. And, you know, even though the gallon of gasoline is pretty high right now by any standard, it certainly is the most efficient and economical to put in your car, and certainly not other sources at this time.
And that leads to one final question. I know it's hard to quantify, but if we were able to access the amount of domestic energy that we've been talking about here in due time, whatever stretch of time that is, what could that mean for our price at the pump?
Well, you know, gasoline is petroleum is traded on a world market by a lot of things. But, you know, tied into that is costs of delivery and costs of refinement. And I think that if you're increasing the supply, then what you're also doing is that you're reducing the price and therefore the price at the pump. It's going to have a significant effect on the price of gasoline that you put in your tank.
We'll watch the debate unfold in the halls of Congress and most likely on the campaign trail as well. Congressman, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, Greg. It was a pleasure being on your show.
Texas Republican Congressman Kiko Canseco. He represents the state's 23rd congressional district. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.